Well, if your eyes are tired or your vision is a little blurry, you may be feeling some eye strain. And with more people spending long hours looking at a computer for work, or maybe they're browsing their smartphones a lot, eye strain has become a pretty common complaint, I think. Our guest now, Dr. Yao Liu, is an ophthalmologist with UW Health and assistant professor of ophthalmology and visual sciences at UW-Madison, the School of Medicine and Public Health. So we'll talk with her about eye strain and what symptoms to look for and how to prevent it. And I hope you'll call in with your own questions. You may have some vision loss. Give us a call. The number is 1-800-642-1234. It's 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page at The Larry Miller Show. Dr. Yao Liu, welcome back.
Thanks so much for having me, Larry. It's always exciting to be here.
Yeah, well, it's great to have you here. When we talk about eye strain or eye fatigue, what does that really mean?
Well, there's a whole lot of different aspects of eye strain and eye fatigue. They typically happen when people are spending long periods of time reading either a book or on the computer, and nowadays on their smartphones.
Yeah.
And there are a couple different common reasons why people's eyes get tired. One of them is, of course, dry eye. When we use our vision, we actually blink our eyes less when we read. And so it's very common that people will notice their vision gets more blurry over time, especially after spending a bit of time reading on their computer. In addition, around the age of 40 years, we actually start to lose our ability to read up close, and we need reading glasses. Frequently, my patients describe this as short arm syndrome, where they feel that, gosh, my arm is suddenly too short. I can't hold my phone far enough away to read it.
I went through that.
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about.
Presbyopia.
Yes, that's right. On the other end of the spectrum, even younger people may notice that when they spend long periods of time reading, especially when they're students, they can experience blurred vision because our eyes actually have muscles that allow us to focus at different distances, and those focus muscles become tired with prolonged use.
And that prolonged use is the thing. I mean, we spend hours looking at those screens every day, and I read a lot. I have 2 or 3 books a week sometimes for the show, and so I have to read those books. So I'm spending a lot of time looking at smaller print. And I'm not the only one out there. So how do you, what's the way around preventing that kind of fatigue? I imagine rest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. So there's a lot of different options for how you can prevent different aspects of eye strain while reading. One thing that a lot of people find useful, especially people who love books like you do, is some people will get electronic readers. Mm-hmm. And the nice thing about those readers is that you can really enlarge the font.
Yep.
Or get large print books from the library. The other nice thing about the readers, especially for people with low vision, a lot of my patients find that they can actually change the contrast. So, for example, some people find that it's easier to read white letters on black background.
Oh, that wouldn't be me.
Yeah. So there are a lot of different tricks nowadays with the new technologies we have to really allow people to maximize the vision that they do have. In addition, if you're reading, you want to make sure that the lighting is good. So having a desk lamp or adjusting your position relative to a window so that you have an even distribution of light can make it a lot easier to see. In addition, if you're reading a computer, for example, and you've got a window just behind you, there can be a lot of glare. So it's nice to be able to position yourself in a way that you don't have direct light falling directly where you're reading.
What about iPhone? You know, phones in general. You know, I've got an iPhone. Other people have phones that are larger even than the iPhone. Any tricks or maybe special problems you see with using a smartphone?
Yeah, so definitely a lot of my patients worry about using their eyes too much. I think we're often told as children that if we use our eyes too much, that it's going to cause problems down the road. As far as we know, using phones and computers more doesn't necessarily harm our vision long term. But there was a really interesting report recently in the New England Journal of Medicine. where two patients reported temporary vision loss from their smartphone.
Ah.
Yeah. So in these cases, they had been using their smartphone in bed, which a lot of us do. And they had one eye closed for an extended period of time. And after they shut off their smartphone, they realized they were unable to see in the dark with the eye that they had been using to read, while the previously closed eye seemed to be seeing fine. Now, anyone who's ever come inside, yeah, that's pretty frightening. Anyone who's ever come inside to a dark room after a bright day outside knows that it takes time for our eyes to adapt to different lighting conditions. And in these cases, these patients did not actually lose vision. Instead, what they were noticing is the natural difference between their light-adapted reading eye and the dark-adapted closed eye.
Okay.
So,
I get it.
Yeah.
So it should have taken, how long does it take to sort of readjust, for the eye to readjust?
Yeah, so if this happens to you, the simplest thing is to turn off the phone or turn on the lights in the room and keep both eyes open. In terms of how long it can take to adjust, normal vision usually returns within 10 to 30 minutes. So usually pretty quickly, but, you know, as our eyes get older, some people do find that it takes longer for them to adjust than others.
Yeah. I was thinking about driving. I was driving on the interstate, and I had about an hour drive or a little hour and a half drive, and I felt some strain. You know, it was night, and, you know, the cars, the various lights, some of the lights are so bright anymore, some of the new ones. I felt a lot of strain from that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Is that something else? Is that something you hear from others?
Absolutely. So we hear some of the earliest complaints that we have from people who are beginning to develop cataracts, especially, is that night driving becomes a problem because the amount of light that comes into the eye is diminished. It's less. And so so that makes it harder to see the road. But in addition, the light that comes into the eye gets scattered. And that's what people notice as glare.
Oh, okay.
And that can make it very difficult to see, especially with really bright oncoming headlights. I definitely agree with you that headlights seem to be getting brighter all the time. And even for young people, it can be really difficult driving at night sometimes with these bright lights coming on.
Jack in Milwaukee has something related to that, I think. Let's go there. Hi, Jack. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, hello. My question was, anything with the LED lights on the street lights, some of the lights don't have shades and that to direct the light down. And that's it's a very intense light at the point of where the light's coming off the fixture itself. And it's almost like a welding rod kind of strike.
Yeah.
Is there any been studies on vision loss with the new LED lights?
Anything on that? Any studies on vision loss with new LED lights? They're so relatively new, there probably hasn't been much done.
Yeah, well, I think that's a great question. The different aspects of lights have been studied in a lot of different contexts. I believe that all of the lights, whether they're LEDs or other lights, have been tested to be within certain safety limits for most people's eyes. But I'm not aware of any studies showing that anyone's proven that there's been vision loss as a result of the types of lights that are being used in street lamps. But I know that there are a lot of people doing research looking at the effect of different lighting on lots of aspects of our lives. For example, Dr. Judy Chen in our department is doing a study right now looking at how different types of lighting may affect medical errors and seeing how different lighting affects the ability of medical professionals to correctly interpret and transfer information from one location to another.
Very.
One other thing I got.
Yeah, go ahead.
You know, they had that. Remember, they had the gold dress with the black stripes, or the blue dress with the, you know, blues. And I think that all the screen time that people watch this and or with the LED lights that they're saying is more of a mind. Do you remember that a couple of years ago, the gold dress with the white stripes?
Yes, I
don't remember. Can you explain that one for us?
Yeah. So what I believe you're referring to was a couple. I can't remember exactly how long, but maybe a couple, maybe a year ago or so. There was a very popular posting on the internet where somebody had posted a photo of a dress, and depending on what particular type of cells in your retina that you have, the dress actually looked like it was a different color to different people. And it just happened that it was right at this particular wavelength that some people would see one color dress and another group of people would see a different color. So I think I was actually out of the country. I think I was in India at the time. And even they were so, you know, that was making the rounds there, too. Everybody was looking at that.
Where the heck was I? That's one I didn't see. I've got to search that one out online and see if I can find it, because that sounds kind of fun to look at. Oh, man. Thanks, Jack, for calling. Appreciate your call very much. And some more callers online. You can join in, too, 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page, The Larry Miller Show. Mike in Lake Mills up next. Hi, Mike.
Hi, Larry. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm a physician. I used to be with the Foreign Service, and I was posted in Poland some years back. And there, when they get people, young or older, with visual issues, they only correct halfway because the rationale was that otherwise the muscles get too dependent on glasses. And I wondered if your ophthalmologist had any comments on that.
Hi, Mike. So that's a great point to make. So, and I'm not a pediatric ophthalmologist, but this is something that they often will do, which is that in younger patients who have a relatively strong glasses prescription, sometimes they don't give them the full glasses prescription. And there are a whole variety of reasons for that. But that typically occurs in younger patients, usually children. Today, with most adults, we do tend to correct the vision all of the way, meaning the full glasses prescription. One of the challenges in prescribing glasses in general is that oftentimes it's easy for the glasses to be too strong. And that's a phenomenon where you'll show a patient the letters and often ask you better one or two.
Yeah.
It can be very hard to tell. And a lot of people will keep going for the smaller, darker letters. And that's actually that usually causes people to have too strong a glasses prescription, and then they have eye strain after the inappropriate glasses, and then
that's a problem. Yeah, well, yeah. Tell you what, we'll take a quick break and we'll be back. Great to have you with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We're taking a look at your eyes today with our guest, Dr. Yao Liu, an ophthalmologist with UW Health, assistant professor of ophthalmology and visual sciences at the University of Wisconsin-Madison School of Medicine and Public Health. You know, if you're like me, you spend a lot of time looking at digital screens. We're talking about how that can affect your eye health. And certainly, if your eyes get tired, why? We can talk about that a little bit and how to get around it. Certainly, you can join in with your own experiences, questions and comments at 1-800-642-1234. The lines are all filled right now. You can email us at talk@wpr.org or post a note on our Facebook page, The Larry Miller Show. Love to hear from you. Let's go to Bill in Madison next with a question. Bill, hi. Thank you for calling.
Oh, hi, Larry. Thanks. A great show. Look, I'm looking for a kind of a recommendation on a good reading lamp. I'm 65. I'm losing vision in my left eye. I can no longer read normal print. And I do a lot of reading at night. And, you know, is a halogen lamp best? Is incandescent? You know, what level of light? And then I guess the second question is, you know, for someone who's, you know, does a lot of reading with only one eye, is it time to just get a tablet and start reading, you know, bigger print? Or, you know, what kind of recommendations would she have, you know, on those subjects to, you know, maintain the vision that I do have?
Yeah. Okay. Thanks a lot, Bill, for calling. Dr. Liu, what do you think?
Hi, Bill. Thanks so much for calling. So a lot of people find that they need more light or better lighting as they get older in order to read. And there are a whole host of different lighting options out there. And usually what I've seen in our clinics where we have low vision therapists who actually will work with patients one-on-one, they'll actually try a whole host of different types of lamps and different types of lighting to see what works best for each person. So it can be very individualized. I would say that one of the most common lamps that they recommend is something called the OTT lamp. It's O-T-T. And that lamp actually provides, it sort of simulates natural daylight, and it allows a pretty even distribution of lighting. So you might want to look into that.
I have to look into that myself. OTT. Yeah. O-T-T.
Yes.
Okay.
And also, I'd be interested in making sure that Bill also has a regular eye exam, because it's really important to understand why he's not seeing better in one eye. You know, low vision is not a necessary consequence of getting older. In fact, I have lots of patients these days who are 90 years old. They see very well with no glasses, in fact, better than I do with no glasses. Mm. And, you know, having poor vision is not a necessary part of getting older these days.
Ron in Beaver Dam, your turn. Hi, Ron.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I really like your show.
Thank you.
Okay, just a couple of comments. We had this last year, when we put up a new Christmas tree, we were going to go to the LED lights.
Yeah.
And we tried them in a couple of places and discovered we did not like them, so we went back and retrieved our old Christmas tree from the basement that had the old lights because the LEDs were just too pinpoint bright, particularly when we were watching TV or something like that. You know, it was off to the side. And on the other thing, we did switch to LED lights in our whole condo units here, our outside yard lights, for cost-saving reasons and also because they last longer. We don't have to pay an electrician to change them so often. So from two standpoints, LEDs seem to be good and bad.
That's interesting. Now, I have LEDs on my tree, mm-hmm. my Christmas tree, but I don't know, mine don't seem to be overly bright. Is there a difference there, Dr. Yu, Alu?
Yeah, so every type of light, regardless of what type it is, they have different degrees of brightness and color temperature. So just because it's a particular type of light doesn't necessarily tell you how bright that light is going to be. So you can actually look on the packaging to see what the brightness is on the lights. And Ron, I hope you were able to get a refund on your tree.
Well, we still have it, and I don't know exactly what we'll do. Maybe we'll put it out for the birds. I don't know.
That's not a bad idea, Ron. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it. Well, what would, you know, in terms of light intensity, you look at that box, and it tells you, does it say this is very bright, or what does it give it, lumens, or what does it do?
So, I'm not an electrician, but there are numbers that are listed on how bright they are. So if, for example, you're not sure exactly how much brightness you want, because, you know, a bright light in a small room versus the same light in a big room
may
have very different effects.
Sure.
So I would recommend trying a couple different types of lights and putting them in the fixtures where you're wanting to use them and seeing what is the best light for you and that purpose, whatever you're doing using that light.
Eleanor in Lake Mills, thanks a lot for calling. Hello.
Hello, Larry. Thank you so much for interesting shows. I like to listen. I have worked in a library for about 20 years processing new books, and I noticed that the print in the books 10 years or more ago was much darker and easier to read. And now I'm not saying all the books now that are printed are lighter, but I have noticed that there seems to be less ink used in some of the printed materials.
I actually have noticed that. And I mean, I've picked up books, because I read several hundred books a year. I see some books that are just basically they're lighter and they're a little tougher to read.
Yeah, so so Eleanor, that's a really interesting observation. I wonder if it has to do with some of the changes people have made in the manufacturing process and the printing process over time. Some of the simple things that you can do are to improve the lighting, like we talked about, and making sure that your using the books near windows or with appropriate amounts of light in order to see better. The other thing is that as we get older, we do start to develop cataracts, which is a clouding of the lens inside the eye. So even if you were to look at the same book over time, sometimes it appears to be dimmer and not as bright as it was. So having, again, like I said before, a regular eye exam, making sure that your glasses prescription is up to date, particularly if you wear reading glasses, can make a big difference.
Yeah, for sure.
That's a good hint. I did have eye surgery about a year ago. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling. And actually, our previous caller, too, I thought cataracts right away when he was talking about his situation. I thought, you know what? Maybe there's a cataract forming there. That's certainly worth a visit to your ophthalmologist. Peter in Whitewater, thanks a lot for calling. Hello.
Hi, thanks. I'm looking for options on improving near vision with contact lenses. So the circumstances, you know, kind of moderate distance vision issues of about, I think, about 4.75 diopter correction or something like that. And usually when I use readers, I have to use about a 3-plus or so reader. So when I use my progressive glasses lenses, I do quite well throughout spectrum of distance to near vision. I prefer to wear contacts a lot during the day, and particularly for sports and activities, and would like to use them for work, but hard because of the near vision issue. So I use the maximum correction multifocal lenses, and that helps so that I can, you know, maybe only be at arm's length to look at my phone. But I'm able to see my phone with the multifocals, but it's still not, you know, very good near vision at all with the maximally corrected multifocal contact lens. And I've tried the trick, I guess, where you use, I think, in the non-dominant eye, a lesser distance prescription to try to help with the near vision, and that, you know, kind of didn't work real well for me, and took away from some of the, of course, the near or distance vision stuff. So just wondering if there's anything new out there with distance or for near vision for contact lenses, or if there's other possibilities.
Oh, good question. Thank you for calling.
Thanks for your question, Ken. It sounds like you've been working very hard with your eye doctor to get your vision to really be optimal. Some of the things that you've mentioned are exactly the things that I thought of as you were speaking. The first is the use of multifocal contact lenses. So rather than, for those people who don't know what that is, rather than wearing a contact lens that has a single prescription in it, there are contacts available that have different rings. So it's sort of different rings of different prescriptions in the same contact lens. And so it uses the fact that our pupils, which is that dark black opening in our eyes, actually changes depending on whether we're looking up close or farther away. It uses that to help us have a stronger prescription that helps us see up close, and then a weaker prescription that allows you to see further away. The other option that you mentioned, Ken, was something called monovision or partial monovision, where you have one eye that is not completely corrected. So because you're a nearsighted person, you can actually wear a contact lens that doesn't give you the full correction in one eye, and that allows that eye to become the nearer of the two eyes. But a lot of people have difficulty with that because most of us are used to using both eyes together.
Yeah.
And if you have one eye that's a distance eye and one eye that's a near eye, it can be very difficult to get good depth perception, and people have a hard time getting used to it. The advice I'd give you, Ken, is to consider having a pair of reading glasses that you use for particular tasks. So, for example, if you're on the computer or you're reading something up close, you may actually benefit from having a pair of readers that you wear over the multifocal contact lenses to give you that extra power that you need for something a little bit closer than arm's length.
So,
I do the readers with my contacts, but it's you know, just that battle of always fighting to find the readers and going back and forth every 5 minutes. So, but I appreciate the comment.
Yeah, thanks so much for calling. One thing I found with readers, I used to just have a pair that I bought at the drugstore, and got a prescription pair of reading glasses just for me, for at night when I'm just home reading my books for the show and whatnot. And that made a huge difference because my eyes are, one eye is different from the other eye.
Yeah, and the other thought, Larry, I had with that is that a lot of my patients find that they're constantly losing their readers or they're breaking them.
Yeah.
And one simple trick is to get prescription glasses with almost no prescription for distance if that's not what they need.
Mm-hmm.
And then just to have the readers on the bottom, and that way they can wear the glasses all a full time.
Oh, another good idea. There we go. Peter, thanks again. I appreciate it. We had Amy on Facebook say her doctor is unable to fully correct her astigmatism, and she's extremely myopic, -7, -9. She experiences eye strain, headaches almost daily. Anything to do to relieve eye strain in this instance?
Thanks for your message, Amy. These are really tricky situations. People who are very nearsighted tend to have a lot more distortion with glasses because the lenses are so thick that if you're looking straight ahead, it's usually very good. But once you look at anything in your peripheral vision, the thickness of the lenses actually starts to distort your vision. On top of that, if you have quite a lot of astigmatism, which is basically where the surface of the eye isn't completely smooth all the way around. So the easiest way to imagine that is rather than the front of the eye or the cornea looking more like a basketball, where it's the same curvature everywhere, it's more like a football. So in one direction, it's a little bit shorter than the other. It's a little steeper is what we say. And having those two things can make it very difficult to have clear vision even with the best pair of glasses. Some patients actually find that contact lenses in that situation are better because it reduces that peripheral distortion from the lenses being very thick. And there are also contact lenses now that correct for astigmatism called toric contact lenses. So that might be an option if that hasn't been tried yet.
That's probably a little more expensive option.
Definitely.
That's what I thought. Ken in Sheboygan, thanks for calling. Hello.
Hello. I have a problem with my eye. Maybe 6 months ago, I had my eye checkup and had gotten glasses. I only see out of one eye. It's been that way all my life. The other one is just light and dark. But I noticed lately that more so when I'm reading that I have to keep blinking my eyes to refocus on what I'm looking at, that it just doesn't stay in focus with the glasses. And I don't know if that's something new or if that's just... What?
Okay. Well, let's... Dr. Liu?
Hi, Ken. So my understanding is that sometimes you see quite well with the glasses, but then sometimes you don't. Is that right?
It's more happening almost all the time now when I'm trying to read, because they're bifocals. And for reading, I have to keep focusing to see what, it's just like it gets blurry, then I have to blink a couple of times to refocus, and then I can read for a little while again, and I have to keep doing that.
Yeah, so the symptoms that you're describing are basically people struggle with this all the time, and they're usually symptoms of dry eye. So when you're blinking, you're actually helping to replenish the surface of the eye and make it smooth. And it's very common, especially as we get older, that our skin, our hair, and our eyes become more dry. And so by simply blinking, what you're doing is you're kind of re-wetting the surface of the eye to make it clear again. The simplest thing to do is to use artificial tears, which you can buy over the counter. It's just like using moisturizing lotion for your skin. When we read, as I said earlier, we blink less. So if you're doing a lot of reading, it can be helpful to use the artificial tears 2 or 3 times a day. Or if you start noticing the blurring happening, you can put the tears in, and that can help increase the comfort and the clarity of the vision that you experience when you're reading.
Oh, okay. And that's not too expensive either. Not at all. There you go, Ken. Thank you so much. Appreciate your call. Any particular, you just ask for eye drops, or what do you ask for?
There are a lot of different brands of artificial tears. A lot of my patients will say, is there one brand that's better than the others? And I tell them it's a little bit like Coke or Pepsi.
Yeah.
Everyone has their favorite. So I would recommend using a couple different types of artificial tears. I will say that there are different types of severity. So you'll see on the artificial tears, mild, moderate, or severe dry eye. If you use a severe dry eye artificial tear, it's usually very thick. So some people don't like it because when you put it in right away, it's actually a little bit blurry for a few minutes. So if you're just starting out, often using the artificial tears for mild dry eye can be helpful. And there's a wide variety to choose from. I will say that I would avoid the tears that, say, get the red out. Those tend to have additional chemicals that people can become dependent on.
Oh, okay. Let's go to Stella in Sturgeon Bay next. Hi, Stella.
Hi. I caught, in driving in the car, I caught when you mentioned Ot-Lites. And I just wanted to mention, I do a lot of beadwork, and I use them, and they are wonderful. They're absolutely wonderful, and they're very expensive. And so I want to recommend to people that they go to a Joann Fabrics store and get on their mailing list, and about every 2 weeks, they send out flyers with sales, items on sale, and also all kinds of coupons. And the sales, the Ot-Lites frequently will go on sale anywhere from 30 to 50% off.
Wow.
And then they often will have, in addition to an item being on sale, they will include a coupon for 20% off your entire purchase, both regular priced and sale priced items. So you can get a really good deal on them.
Oh, thank you.
It's the most economical way that I've found for buying them.
Joann Fabrics. Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Appreciate the call. They are a little more, I guess they are a little pricier than the normal light, aren't they?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. I'm going to look into it anyway. Vincent Lakewood, have you got a question for us?
Yes, I do. I have a trauma-induced detached retina, and I've been blind in one eye for a number of years. But it seems like recently my balance has been getting worse and worse. I tried to go cross-country skiing this winter, and I couldn't even make it down a hill without falling over. So I don't know, is there anything I can do about that? Or
I'd go to my GP probably first, wouldn't you, Dr. Liu?
Yeah, absolutely, Vince. The fact that you've had poor vision, you're blind in one eye, you said, for many years, and you've been able to ski normally and enjoy life, which is fantastic, it's concerning to me that all of a sudden you're noticing that you're having more balance problems, and that suggests that it may not have to do with your eyes necessarily. There are a lot of parts of our ear, our inner ear, and our brain that control our balance, so I would definitely recommend seeing your primary care provider to make sure that there aren't other issues.
There we go. Thanks, Vince. I would do that sooner than later, too, will you? For me, do that. Cheryl in Berlin, we'll go to you next. Hi, Cheryl.
Hi. I would like to know, is there anything that can be done about floaters?
Yeah. I get them every once in a while, once a year maybe.
Yeah. So, Cheryl, floaters are one of the most common questions that we, as eye doctors, were asked about. As we get older, the gel in the back of the eye, the vitreous, actually changes, and parts of it become noticeable. So parts of it get more liquidified, and parts of it become more solid. And what happens is people start to see these floaters. Often my patients will say, gosh, I saw this bug flying around the room, and I tried to catch it, and I couldn't, and I realized it was in my eye. And they can be very bothersome for people. Unfortunately, there's not a great way to fix them. And usually what happens is over time, the brain learns to adjust. So we often tell our patients, you know, over the course of many months, that the brain actually is able to fill in information from the other eye. And so that people will actually say, gosh, sometimes I see my floaters and sometimes I don't. And so your brain is very powerful, and being patient with it and giving it time to adjust can make a big difference.
Well, on that note, we are out of time. You guys have a website, right? We'll put that up on our Facebook page. Jill's her normal, efficient self will have it up there if she doesn't already. And Dr. Liu, thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks, Larry. It's been great.
Dr. Yu Lau, ophthalmologist with UW Health and assistant professor of ophthalmology and visual sciences at UW-Madison School of Medicine and Public Health. She'll be back. We'll do it again. Patricia McConnell joins me tomorrow to talk about her new book, The Education of Will, and a Valentine's Day treat. We'll talk about chocolate. Stay with us.